I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. It matters what you are around and what you hear and what you fellowship with, what you commune with, because whatever that is will get in you. The scripture says, he that walks with wise men will be wise. Why would that be? Walk means that you do things with them. You're around them. You go places with them. We might say hang out with them. And then next thing you know, you wise yourself. Yeah. Huh? Yes. But then the scripture also says, that corrupt communication has the opposite effect. It's the same thing your mother told you. You don't run with that bunch. They'll rub off on you. Huh? That's right. You hang out with people that do drugs? Guess what's about to happen? Huh? Oh, no, I don't do them myself. Well, today you don't. Right? But you keep doing that. You keep doing that. You're opening yourself up to it. You're exposing yourself up to it. What if you're around people that are unthankful, always griping, won't take responsibility for anything, always blaming somebody else, always fussing, cussing, down, dark, negative? You can't be around people like that all the time and it not affect you. If you see things that you really don't want in your life, then you need to limit the time you're around them. Amen. It's just a fact. Because if they're not coming your way, you're going their way. Hmm? Which is why we have Faith School.
Amen.
It's a club. Yes. Right? You in the club?
Yes.
We saved you a seat right here for special club members. Is that right?
Yes.
And all we talk in Faith School is, guess what?
Faith.
That's it. We talk victory.
Yes.
We talk overcoming.
Yes.
We talk about how big God is,
yes,
how good He is.
Yes.
And we just don't talk defeat.
Amen.
We don't talk failure. And what'll happen? You hang around that?
Yes.
You hang around that?
Yes.
You come visit with us and join with us day after day, week after week. It is rubbing off on you.
Yes.
It is getting into you. Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And that's a very, very good thing. Father, all of us agree together as touching this, asking you for the anointing. Oh, thank you for the anointing that teaches us, the anointing that enlightens and ministers and heals and delivers and helps. Thank you. We're asking for it. And for utterance and answers for everyone for right now, right where we are in life and right now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you've been with us, you know that we are on a series that we're calling Faith for Provision. And like we were talking about yesterday's class, you're not going to have faith in an area if you never hear anything about that. Hearing that Jesus paid for your sins and you're not going to hell will give you faith in that. But it won't give you faith to be healed unless you hear the whole thing about how by His stripes, right? That was part of what happened. Well, this is part of what happened here too, is that Jesus became poor, that you might be poor.
No.
Huh?
No.
He didn't become sin. so we could stay in sin and death. Huh? Yeah. He didn't take our infirmities and bear our sicknesses and carry our pains so we could carry our pains. Yeah. Nope. And he didn't become poor. Amen. So we could be poor. Now, to hear a lot of people talk, that's what they actually say. Hey, Jesus was poor, so you should be. Well, actually, that's not true. He didn't live in poverty.
That's right.
No, he didn't. We just got through talking about that not long after he was born, people showed up with camel loads of gold and frankincense. Is that right? You could say even baby Jesus was a money magnet. I mean, is that right? Money, is that right? I mean, he shows up, money starts coming to him. It's true. And he always had what he needed. Now, he was on a short course for the cross. He didn't get married, didn't have a family, not starting a church. He's the one told us to fulfill the Great Commission. He was on a short course track, finished in his early 30s, to show us how to live and how to walk and then to be our substitutionary sacrifice and save us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And to do that, he had plenty. He ate well. He stayed in good places. How many know you don't have to own property to enjoy property? Right? Yeah. And he wore good clothes. You remember they gambled for his clothes when they crucified him. And they had enough money that Judas was embezzling, and they still had plenty. Right? How many know if you only got $3,
yes,
if somebody takes one, everybody gonna know. Is that right? Because hey, it's a dollar missing. But when somebody can be stealing and embezzling and you hardly notice it, you don't notice it, that means you got abundance. And the Bible says that there were people in Luke 8, I believe it talks about, individuals that had been delivered and healed that supported his ministry. And some of them were known people to be wealthy and in places of position and affluence. And so Jesus had wealthy partners that were supporting their travels. And think about it, those 12 men that followed around with him, all of them, they left their occupations and they're working at that and went into this full time and had money to take care of all their families.
Yes.
Huh? Keep their businesses idling wherever they were and have plenty for all their travels and everything that they needed. No, Jesus was not poor. He was not indigent. He was not homeless.
Right.
He was not on the street. People say this kind of stuff. And then they'll say, well, because he was, you should be. Well, how far are you going to take that? Well, you should be just like Jesus. Okay, he never married. Huh? No. Died at what, 33? Right? I've already missed that. How about you? Woo, thank you, Lord. No. You got to separate what he did as our substitute sacrifice. Those things he did so we won't have to do. From the example that he gave us of how to do things. And no, though it has become commonplace in religious tradition to talk about how poor Jesus was and how all his followers, and even people say, well, if you're really going to be in the ministry, you should take a vow of poverty. That is nowhere in the Bible. That's not there. It's also the source of a lot of problems. And so, no, he had plenty. And his people had plenty. His apostles had plenty.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
In fact, you read the early days of the church, they had no lack. Not a one among tens of thousands of people in these churches, not one was in lack. I'm quoting scripture.
Thank you.
Huh?
Yes.
That's the will of God.
Amen.
Who never changes. He never changes. And so that's why we're talking about this, and we're giving one by one 30 reasons from Scripture why we're sure it's always God's will for all of us to have abundant provision. I want to hear you say it out loud. Abundant provision,
abundant provision is
always God's will,
for us all.
It's always God's will,
for me
to have plenty. Amen. That's the will of God. It's the Word of God. We started out with reason number one, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. What's the rest of it? I shall not want. Other translations bring out, I am never in need. I will always have everything I need. Why? Because the Lord's a good shepherd. We went on to see reason number two, that He is the, because of the goodness of God, we know this. Because of the fatherhood of God, we know this. Because of the creation of God, we know this. Because of God's will in heaven, we know this. Because of God being the God of Abraham, who never changes. Abraham knew a God who made him rich. If Abraham was here today, and you said, Abraham, you know, a bunch of people in the modern church, they think God wants you poor sometimes, he'd go, really? Not the God I knew. Is that right? Abraham knew a God who made him one of the wealthiest people in the whole part of the world. Rich. And so he never changes. And the Bible, the next reason that we gave you was because we are the seed of Abraham, and that blessing belongs to us, to me. And then number eight, we talked about the blessing of tithing. And then our ninth reason is connected to that, and yet it's a little different too. And that is, tithing is not about keeping the law. You'll hear people say things like, well, now, preacher, you know, tithing, that's part of the old covenant. That's part of the law. That doesn't apply to us today. No, you need to read your scripture some more. Tithing, Abraham tithed. And this was a long time before Moses and before there was any kind of law. Where did he get that from? And you know, you look in the book of Genesis, and Adam and Eve and their boys are bringing offerings to the Lord. That's a long time before the law. Where did they get that? Why is this going on? And the Lord is receiving them and making corrections when Cain didn't do it right. And it's always been a thing. Why? It's not about the money. It's about the heart. And where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And why people get so mad about this kind of thing, because they actually care too much about money, and they care more about money than they do God and the things of God, which is why they're absolutely unwilling to give anything to God or to the work of God or these kind of things. And hey, none of us are trying to make you do anything. Right? And people of God, they know God's way is no coercion, no manipulation. If you don't want to do it, He doesn't want you to do it. If it's not willing, it's not acceptable. But if your values are God's values, then His things, His people, more important to you than money, much more valuable to you than money. And you'll see that there's always been a connection between honor and riches, between glory and wealth. Now, we took some time in previous lessons this week and looked at that phrase, filthy lucre, and talked about how people have gotten the idea and actually misquote scriptures and say, well, didn't the Bible say that money's the root of all evil? It did not. No, it didn't. It said the love of money, which is not the same as money. Is love the same as money?
No.
And like we talked about, you can have no money at all and love it dearly, long for it, lust for it, night and day. Try to dream about if you had money, wanting money. If you can love money but not have money, why couldn't you have money and not love it? Well, you can. And that's what the Lord wants for us. My father in the faith, Kenneth Hagin Sr., who's in heaven now, he talks about an experience that he had with the Lord where he said the head of the church showed him some things and told him some things. And one of the things he was showing him was how to be led by the Spirit of God. And after showing him some things about the inward witness and how to pay attention and how to be led by the Spirit, he said, the Lord said to him, if you'll learn to follow my Spirit, I'll make you rich. Rich. See, just saying the word. People go, oh, that, no, the Lord didn't say that. Did he ever say rich? Did he ever use the word in scriptures? But you see how religious tradition has tainted this whole subject. You just say the word rich and people go, ooh, ooh. Nope. Huh? Those people are off. I say prosperity preachers, ooh, stay away from them, you know. Well, if you read the scriptures, you'll find that these guys were prosperity preachers. You going to stay away from them? No, that's not the problem. And Brother Hagin said when the Lord said that to him, it sounded strange to him because of his, just like we were talking about, his tradition. He thought, huh? I'll make you rich? He said, the Lord said, if you'll learn to follow my Spirit, I'll make you rich. Now, rich is a relative term. It's not a dollar amount. Rich is different things to different people. Some people, you know, this amount would be more than enough to take care of. Other people need 10 times that much to do what they're supposed to be doing. But in either case, it's more than enough. You believe that? More than enough. In fact, according to Romans 10, it's more than enough. And Brother Hagin said that when the Lord said that to him, he was hesitant about that. And he said the Lord knew it, just like that. And he said to him, and these are the words to me that just clarify everything. He said, the Lord said to him, I'm not opposed to my children being rich. I'm opposed to them being covetous. That is revelation. Yes. Right? Yes, right. And the enemy so hates God's people having any kind of resources that he has been able to convince much of the church, you don't want anything to do with money at all, and made money the evil thing and money the problem. And the thing is, you can be broke as can be and still covetous, still sit around and daydream about wanting money and needing this and wanting this. It's never been the money. It's never been the nice things. Did God give the wisdom and the understanding and knowledge about how to make a beautiful piece of jewelry, a fine watch, nice clothes, a nice car, any of these kinds? Did he give that just so unbelievers and blasphemers could use them? No. And have them? No. And enjoy them? Is it, what's wrong with a good watch? Huh? Well, yeah, but it costs money. Well, everything costs money. It depends on where you are, right? Now, if you want it too much and you steal to get it, that's wrong. If you lie to get it, that's, if you take it away from somebody, wrong. But it wasn't the watch that was wrong.
That's right.
Huh? The what? If the watch could talk, it'd say, hey, I had nothing to do. I'm just over here keeping time, man. Right? So, a fine car is a fine car. What's wrong with a good car? Nothing's wrong with a good car. A good house, if you can live in a nice, comfortable place instead of an old falling down shack, why wouldn't you do it? What's wrong with it? The problem is not the house, the car, the money, the clothes, the stuff. The problem is covetousness, loving it, idolizing it, putting it a priority above God. The Lord, he doesn't mind you having a lot of things. The scripture said he gives us richly all things to enjoy, but he doesn't want anything to be preeminent over him. or get in the way of you listening to him and putting him first. And the way you can prove it is that anything you have, you will do what he tells you to do with it. Is that right? If he says give it, you will give it. If he says sell it, you will sell it. If he says get out of it, let it go, you will let it go. And if you won't, then it shows that something's an idol to you. It's too important to you. And it's not the thing's fault. That's something with you, your issue. And he said here in Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. Another translation said, honor the Lord with your wealth and give him the first share of your crops. Your storerooms will be so full they can't hold everything. There's always been this connection between honor and riches or glory and wealth. We saw that as soon as the baby Jesus came into the earth and as a young child, these wise men brought these riches to honor wealth and honor. Everybody say wealth and honor. Wealth can be a tool to show priority and to show if something, the gold, the precious jewels, if they're really, really valuable, but you will let them go and lay them down because this is more valuable to you. Yes. Isn't that a heart revealer?
Yes, it is.
It is. Now, we talked about this a few classes back, but does an old, worn out building glorify God for church more than a nice new one? Why would what's the benefit of, for one thing, if it's bad enough, it's not even safe, right? For the people to come in and meet in. How does that give glory to God? Now, the reason I'm saying this is because there are people, they are proud of how broke they are. And they think it's a sign of spiritual superiority that they are unconnected to any nice things or wealthy things, which is actually a form of spiritual pride. It's an ugly thing. But how does it glorify God that you're so broke you can't help me if I need help? I'm so broke I can't help anybody else. I can't help send the gospel. I can't help anybody build a church or anything like that. How does that help anybody? That's just a self-focus, self-glorification thing. I'm so spiritual that I'm untouched by any natural material thing. Now, you're living in a fantasy world of your own making. You could be a lot more help if you had some resources. If you didn't love them. If you didn't love the resources. Now, go with me, if you would, to, what is this? 1 Kings, I believe it is. Thank you, Lord. 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter, if you're going to that, and I'll share some other things while we're going. Solomon is listed and held up in the scriptures as an example of wisdom and wealth. And we're going to talk more about that. That's another reason why we know it's God's will, different from glory and wealth. But before Solomon was David. And David had some rocky times here and there, and he is running from Saul part of the time, and a lot of battles, a lot of conflicts, and the Bible said everywhere he went, God gave him victory. You want to say that about yourself?
Yes.
Everywhere I go,
the Lord gives me victory.
But you know, David listened to the Lord too. He inquired of the Lord everywhere he went. But the Bible said when at the end of David's life, 1 Chronicles 29:28, he, talking about David, died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. Everybody say riches and honor.
Riches and honor.
Is that a good way to die?
Yes.
Or is it better to die broke? Huh? Because you didn't want any of this old world's goods. No, Proverbs talks about a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Huh? That's not just your kids, but your grandkids. Your grandkids get to be 20 years old and find out there's a trust fund. And they go, thank you, Papa. Huh? Is that good or bad?
That's good.
Is that good or bad?
Good.
We need mind renewal. Because a lot of the church thinks anything to do with this is bad and wrong, and yet it's Scripture. And is it good to die? You lived a long life. Full of days, riches, and honor. Hallelujah. Good name, good testimony, multiple accounts. Is that good? Is that godly? Is that right? Yes, it is. And the Bible said concerning Solomon in Luke 12, when the Lord himself was talking about not being careful and worrying about what you're going to eat and wear and all that kind of thing. He said, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say to you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. What was Solomon's glory? It was two big things. It was wisdom and it was wealth. Right? We're running out of time today, but I'm thinking maybe tomorrow we'll get into it. The Bible talks about, for one, the Queen of Sheba that came to see him. And the Bible said when she saw his stuff and the way he operated and the way he functioned, she lost her breath. That's glorious. Yeah. And it was talking about the beauty, the magnificence, the opulence, the richness, the wealth. Did that glorify God?
Yes.
That's my question. Or would it have been more glorifying to God if it would have been just all bare metal? Huh? And just concrete floors. And they said, you know, we saved the Lord some money. Is there room for mind renewal here?
Yes.
Everybody said out loud, Lord.
Lord,
get glory to yourself.
Get glory to yourself.
In my life.
In my life.
In every area.
Every area.
Including riches.
Hallelujah.
Well, our time's up again today. I'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.